Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daryl, have you ever sat in the pavilion at Blossom before? You a pavilion guy, or you more of a lawn guy?
I usually end up on the lawn.
That's the way to do it, though, honestly.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty much, I'm a lawn snob.
I mean, like I said, I think that's the better way to enjoy the concert, if we're being honest with ourselves. Let's find out.
You were a get off my lawn snob.
I see what you did there. Let's find out if Chris Fedor is more of a lawn or pavilion guy at Blossom. Chris, if you're going to a concert at Blossom, where are you sitting, my friend?
Well, I've done both. I think it depends on the kind of show that you're at, and I think it kind of depends on the experience that you want. But I have done both. I've done both many times, actually. Going all the way back to high school in my early college days, guys, I was a huge concert goer. And I spent a lot of summers at Blossom. But the one where I sat in the pavilion, it was a good time to sit in the pavilion because it was a rainy night and it was for a Godsmack concert.
Oh, nice.
It was a really good vibe in there.
I think this is the point of the show where Lyle
you
or
have
Ken
no idea
would say
who Godsmack
congratulations
is.
On all of your success. No, because he sat in the pavilion multiple times. Multiple times he's been in the pavilion. That's impressive. I've done it once and I don't know. I just prefer the lawn. I think it's like it's part of the concert feel. But I get what you're saying, Chris, where it's like depending on the show, who it is,
it's
a little more intimate in there, and I can see why that'd be cool depending on who it is. So that's great.
Yeah, and life is about who you know. So let's just put it that way.
Exactly.
And getting the invite.
Congratulations on all your success.
There it is.
I have an extra ticket for tonight. You want to come along? Yeah, sure. Please, twist my arm. I'll take a free concert ticket.
Chris, before we brought you on here last segment, we were sort of riffing about looking back on the 2016 championship and how the countdown to Sunday with a Game 7 in this NBA Finals is going to bring plenty of Cavaliers highlights from the last Game 7 that we've seen in the NBA Finals. I'm curious, as you've watched this series unfold, and we know what transpired between the Pacers and the Cavs when they played each other head-to-head, but which of these two teams, the Pacers or the Thunder, do you think the Cavaliers are closer to being in terms of trying to make a similar run?
Neither. I just think we have the two best teams in the NBA right now playing in the finals. I think we have the two most deserving teams in the NBA that are playing in the finals right now. And look, I think President of Basketball Operations, Kobe Altman, said it during his end of season wrap up. This is a 16-game season, and the 16-game season is very, very different than the 82-game season. And the Cavs have done a lot of good things during the regular season, but they have to find a way, guys, to get what they do in the regular season to translate to postseason success. And the thing that we know about OKC because of this run, and the thing that we know about Indiana because of the last two runs that they've been able to make, is that what they do translates to postseason success, that they've got postseason players on their roster. They've got guys who can understand what postseason basketball is all about, and they can handle the pressure. They can handle the intensity. They can handle the physicality and everything involved with postseason basketball. And you can't say the same thing about the Cavs players. You can say the same thing about some of the Cavs players, but playoff basketball and regular season basketball, very, very different. And I think until the Cavs have an understanding of that, and until there's a level of readiness from their players on this roster, their most important players on this roster, about everything that playoff basketball requires, it's hard to say that they're close to either one of these teams.
Chris, if the Pacers pull this thing off, and obviously it's a big if going into Oklahoma City Sunday night's not going to be the easiest environment to try and win the Larry O'Brien. But let's say the Pacers pull this thing off, right? Does that make the wound not nearly as big because it's two straight years the Cavaliers will then have been eliminated in five games by the eventual NBA champion, or just is that immaterial?
I think to some degree it probably makes it a little bit easier to like understand and accept, maybe easier than it did at the time. But I think the Cavs owe it to themselves to evaluate themselves. I don't think they can look at it through the prism of, well, look, Indiana won the championship this year, and last year Boston won the championship this year, so that tells us that we're close. I don't think they are close, and I don't think there's anybody inside the organization that should think that they are close. They lost 4-1 to the Indiana Pacers. They lost a series in which many of their players, after the fact, were talking about them not being ready or not being mentally tough enough. And I think those things, have to resonate with the decision makers in this organization, rather than, hey, well, because Indiana won the championship or because Boston won the championship, that should make us somehow feel a little bit better about ourselves. This is a team that needs to take a harsh look in the mirror this offseason and ask themselves some very difficult questions about what they want to compete for and how it is that they are going to take the next step to compete for those things.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. One thing I didn't get a chance to ask Kobe at his end of season press conference, Chris, and I've been dying to sort of get your thoughts on it. You know, you mentioned Kobe's press conference, and one of the things he has gone to the last 2 years has been this idea of development. And there is a level of, I can understand where he's coming from with that, right? Like, we all think Evan Mobley can take another step. Darius Garland is still so young in his career, like there's maybe another level to his game that we haven't seen in the playoffs because of injuries. I guess my question, though, is like, how long, how many years in a row can Kobe lean on this idea of development as the thing that is going to take this team to the next level before maybe deciding, you know what, now we have to start making some changes?
I think Kobe is right to assume that there is a level to this team that can still get better from an internal standpoint. I think he's right to assume that because Evan Mobley, the version of Evan Mobley that the Cavs got in the series against Indiana, that's not the guy who they're probably going to get this year. I think he's going to be a better player. I think he's going to be more understanding of how to be a star, if that makes sense. Like, this was the first year that he was an all-star. This was the first year that he was Defensive Player of the Year. This was the first year that he was second-team All-NBA. And there's a lot of stuff that comes with that. There's a lot of attention from an opposing defense that comes with that. There's a lot of understanding of Evan's strengths and weaknesses and trying to take away his strengths. When you're talking about an opposing team game planning for the Cavs, he was higher up on the priority list. He was going to get more attention from a defense. He was going to get a more detailed scouting report. And I think he has a better idea of how to handle all of those things, including the pressure and the expectation that comes with being a second-team All-NBA performer, that comes with being a first-time All-Star. So there is a mental thing where I think he's going to be better moving forward. And then from a talent perspective, yeah, he can get more comfortable operating on a pick-and-roll. He can get more comfortable as a ball handler. He can get more comfortable on the perimeter. So assuming the Evan Mobley evolution is going to continue, I think it's right for Kobe to look at it and say, well, Evan's going to be better. And Darius Garland, the version of Darius Garland that we got during the regular season where he was an all-star, we didn't see that guy against Indiana because he was dragging his toe around, because he couldn't be the guy that he was during the regular season with the stop and start, with the change of direction, with the pace, with the speed, and all those different factors. And I also think that from an internal standpoint, there's a level to comfort within Kenny Atkinson's system in year two. I think there's a level of Kenny Atkinson evaluating himself during that series against Indiana and making some tweaks offensively and defensively that could be better.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the Cavs, I think there's a level of, well, we're going to be a more mature group. We're going to have a better understanding of playoff basketball. And there's a natural evolution that these teams tend to go through when they have playoff failures and hardships, because they do take a harder look in the mirror and they do really try and work through some of their failures in a more detailed and more focused way. So I think all of those things are added into the equation of, yeah, this team can get better. The question then becomes is, how much better does that make you? And is that better enough to get on the level of the two teams that we see playing for an NBA championship right now? Because this isn't just about, you know, some level of playoff success. This is a projected second apron team. This is a projected luxury tax team. This is a team that has championship aspirations. Getting to the playoffs and having playoff success and winning a championship are two completely different things. So the standard that the Cavs have set and the standard that the Cavs are trying to reach here is what we're seeing from Indiana and OKC. And that's the level that they need to get to. And they have to ask themselves, okay, all of those things that we can assume in terms of how we can get better internally, is that enough to get to the level that we're seeing from these two teams competing for a championship?
Chris, there's been a narrative out there, right, in pro sports that you always consult your stars when it comes to moves, right? You know, obviously, Cavs have Donovan Mitchell. My question to you is, how much does Kobe Altman really, truly do that? And at what point does maybe Evan Mobley get in that mix from like a consultation standpoint?
Well, Kobe definitely, when it comes to making these moves, he tries to do everything that he can to bring Donovan in the loop so that he's aware of what's going on with this organization, so that he feels a part of it. And because I think Kobe trusts him, and I think Donovan trusts Kobe. And if you have a smart player inside your organization that you consider a leader, that you consider really, really valuable, you want to make him feel like he's a part of it. And you want his thoughts. You want his thoughts on the coaching situation. You want his thoughts on potential guys to bring outside this organization. You want him to feel like he's involved in the process. A couple of years ago, he was a big part of Max Strus coming in free agency and George Niang coming in free agency. You know, I don't think that Johnny Bryant's only here because of Donovan Mitchell, but sure, that's a big part of it. The relationship that Donovan has with Johnny Bryant and the things that Donovan knew about Johnny Bryant from his days in Utah with him. And he could give an honest assessment on why Johnny would be a good fit with this organization, why Johnny deserved to get a head coaching interview during that whole process. Yeah, I definitely think there's a part of that. And when it comes to Evan, look, I mean, I think there is a level of Evan Mobley influence within this organization. There is a coach on this staff that the Cavs took because the work that he was doing with Evan Mobley behind the scenes last off season. He was doing work with Olin Simplis in Los Angeles, who is Evan's personal trainer. But this particular coach was also working a lot with Evan, and Kenny Atkinson went out to Los Angeles. He saw the work that this coach was doing with Evan, and he said, you know what? You're doing a great job with him. We're going to hire you. We're going to bring you to Cleveland so that you can continue that relationship with Evan. You can continue developing Evan and working on specific things that we think are going to be better for Evan and we think are going to help Evan. So I do think there's a level of influence that Evan is gaining within this organization. I mean, there are two guys, well, three really, three main components of this organization who have coaches on this staff who are largely tied to that specific player. It's Evan Mobley, it's Darius Garland, and it's Donovan Mitchell. So I think that tells you all you need to know there.
A few more minutes here with Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, and the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Chris, I know last time I had a chance to talk to you was with Earl a couple weeks back, and you caused quite the stir on social media with the clip that we shared where you're talking about Darius being the thing that needed to be moved to make the team. Those responses were hilarious, by the way. Like, the people who were like, this guy can't show his face in the locker room. I was like, he literally is in the locker room all the time. Like, he talks to the players. They understand, like, he's got a job to do. It's going to be okay. But anyway, I'm just curious, because then a couple days later, obviously, the news came out with Darius' surgery. Does that take him off the table completely for the Cavaliers to move? Because we know, like, they're not going to sell him or Jared Allen or put them out on the market for anything less than what they think is the ultimate value for them in return. So what does that do in terms of their willingness to maybe shop somebody like Darius at least this time of year? Or is it something that could maybe have to wait till the trade deadline?
Yeah, I don't sense, guys, that it's the Cavs shopping Darius and Jared. I think it's them listening to phone calls and listening to the interest out there
from some of these other teams.
No, that's okay. And I don't think another team around the NBA is going to sit here and say, well, you know, Darius is probably going to miss a small chunk of time early on in the regular season, and he's not going to get a full off season to work on his game. So we're not going to be interested anymore. You know, teams around the NBA trade for injured guys all the time. Mm-hmm. The Toronto Raptors at the trade deadline this past year, they traded for Brandon Ingram, who didn't have a working ankle, and he never played for the Toronto Raptors. But it wasn't about, you know, those final 3 months of the regular season or whatever it was. It was about, hey, this is a guy that we think fits with the people that we have in this organization. This is a guy who's available, who's really, really talented, that we couldn't acquire otherwise. So this happens all the time around the NBA, where guys who are injured get traded or change destinations. And if a team is interested in Darius Garland, they're not going to allow this minor toe surgery and the fact that he's going to miss maybe a couple of weeks early on in the season prevent them from making what they think is a compelling offer to the Cavs. Because Darius is a two-time All-Star, because Darius is 25 years old, and he's a bright young point guard around the NBA. He's got strengths. He's got limitations. But I just don't know that the Cavs are going to get the kind of deal that they're going to be willing to say yes to. And there's a difference between listening and considering offers and actually saying yes to these offers and finding an offer out there from another team that the Cavs are going to deem one that makes them a better basketball team, that allows them to take that next step as an organization. I'm not Kobe Altman. I'm not seeing these offers. I'm not taking these calls. But I do know that the Cavs value Darius greatly. They do consider him a core member of this team, and it's going to be up to whoever it may be out there, whether it's New Orleans, whether it's Minnesota, whether it's the Los Angeles Clippers, depending on what happens with James Harden. Name a team that could have legitimate interest in Darius Garland. Name a team that has a need for a player like Darius with that level of playmaking, that level of shot creation, that level of scoring, that level of ball handling, that level of passing, and all that kind of stuff. And if there's a team interested, it's on them to put a package together that is so interesting. By the way, the way that the Orlando Magic did for Desmond Bane, they put a package together that was so interesting, so compelling, and it almost forced Memphis to say yes. Like, they couldn't possibly say no to that kind of deal. Orlando did that, and they got the guy that they coveted the most this offseason. If there's a team out there that has that much interest in Darius, Sacramento, throw them into the mix. That is their responsibility to make that kind of offer that Kobe Altman almost can't possibly say no to. But I don't know if they're going to get that kind of offer for Darius.
He's Chris Fedor, does a tremendous job, as always, covering the Cleveland Cavaliers for Cleveland.com. Chris, we feel honored that you graced us with your presence on this show in particular on this fine Friday morning. So thank you so much.
Of course. Anytime you guys are in, just give me a shout.
Appreciate you, Chris. We'll talk to you again soon, man. Have a good weekend.
Yep, you too.
Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.